Welcome to Why Golf? Opinion Matters. This is the podcast where we celebrate everything about the sport with the great and the good of the golfing world, from the seasoned pros to those who have only just discovered their passion for the game. For those of you who haven't heard about Why Golf before, it's the place to go to find out why golf has such wide-ranging benefits for all of us. Whether you're an individual, a company, or federation, this platform is literally for everyone. If you want to check out everything we have to offer, just head to thisiswhygolf.com, which has been created to explain and explore why golf is so beneficial and quite simply one of the greatest sports on the planet. Now, this episode, we're joined by an Olympian, no less. Zara Tyndall competed at the London 2012 Olympics, where she won silver in team eventing. She also won the Eventing World Championship in 2006 and is a three-time European gold medalist. Outside of equestrianism, Zara has also launched her own jewellery collection, and it's a busy time for her family with the coronation of her uncle, King Charles III, taking place in a couple of weeks' time. Zara, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm really good. We were talking beforehand. I had a facial yesterday. I don't know if you can tell.
And you look amazing.
From a distance.
I need the number.
Thank you, my love. Now, listen, you have a very busy schedule. Thank you for fitting us in. What have you been doing this morning?
I've ridden this morning and then I'm actually going to Cheltenham. I've got a meet on yesterday and today. So I'm heading over later to do that, my little committee job there. And then the end of the week, I go to America to do a competition next week.
Tell us about the competition.
So it's a 5-star 3-day event in Kentucky in America, which is basically the same as badminton, but it's the week before. But I couldn't go to badminton this year because it's a busy weekend.
Too many commitments.
So yeah, unfortunately, it would have been nice to go, but actually I love taking horses over there. It's a great show. And yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, he landed safely. He flew last night, the horse I'm talking about. He flew last night and they landed and safe over there. So yeah, busy.
Oh my goodness, there are so many things to take into consideration when you're flying horses across the pond and competing over there. Do you like competing in America?
Yeah, I love it. They're so welcoming and it's a different atmosphere. You know, hopefully he's flown before, so he likes traveling. He's been to America before. And yeah, I mean, we'll see how we get on, but it's a fun event. It's a great track and it's always a good competition.
When you say he, I've got Mike in my head. So you haven't flown Mike over. It's the horse. What's the horse called?
The horse's competition name is called Class Affair, but his nickname is Socks because he's got four like white long socks up to his knees. So, yeah.
Oh, gorgeous. And historically, how have you done in America?
He was all right last time. He's a bit tricky. So that's what I'd be most nervous of, is that he's very tricky in his brain, actually in competition as well. But he's really talented. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping for that one amazing performance all the time from him. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. He's in good form. We've had a bit of a dodgy prep because everything's been cancelled. So he's only had one run, but he's fit and ready to go.
Crossing fingers and toes. Now, you're such a talented sportswoman, Zara. Golf. Tell us about how you got into golf. Where did it start?
I mean, I'm not sure playing would be the word, but I've sort of done a bit of golf for a few years, like since I was young when I was travelling in Australia. But obviously, Mike absolutely loves golf and plays a lot of it. And I become a golf widow in the summer. Last year, Mike and Natalie Pinkham made me do the Slingsby Golf Academy, which was incredible, actually. It's about getting women involved in playing golf, and the four of us have to learn how to play golf in 6 months. And it was Judy Murray, Dr. Zoe, and Anna Woolhouse. It was a great group of girls. We had so much fun. I almost feel like I needed more time. I thought, you know, like 6 months would be really easy to do, but my competitive side wanted to do more, you know, and try and get better at it. But it was good fun. And I just also wanted to be able to learn how to put a round together so I could actually maybe go and play with Mike rather than just sort of hacking away at it, actually learn a bit more finesse. It's just such an incredibly, you know, when it goes right, like any sport, I guess, when it goes right, it's amazing. And you could, you know, play on the best competition in the world, but most of the time it doesn't go like that.
I hear you. Yeah, I've played the game since I was six, and I don't know, it can be soul destroying and elating. It's like you can go from one extreme to another with one pure shot and then you've shanked it. So it's an emotional roller coaster. It really is. What was the hardest part about learning golf?
For me, I can hit it. So it was learning, kind of calm the whole thing down and slow my swing down and not try and hit it so hard, so aggressive, I guess.
Well, it's quite hard to slow yourself down when you're used to doing what you do on a horse, which is very reactive and quick and fast paced. And then you're stationary over a golf ball. I mean, golf is like no other sport, is it? Because you've got so much thinking time.
Exactly. And I think that was saying to the coach, I was like, I am so used to reacting to a situation like at speed and, you know, like traveling and going, oh, okay, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. Whereas trying to slow myself down to kind of go, okay, here's the ball and we've got to move the ball rather than me like maneuvering the animal kind of thing. I have to move the ball and do it at a right speed that it didn't either just drop off, you know, in the wrong direction. So that was, I did find that hard, and the same with the short game. I'm either like going too far over the hole or, you know, like dribbling a little way in front of me. So trying to, you know, it was a great experience of trying to create a game and slow myself down, and I guess, you know, like controlling everything, learning how to control myself. Was a big part of it.
Definitely. I think it's a lesson for life, isn't it? I spoke to Helen Skelton a couple of weeks back, and it's about being in the moment and accepting that you have to go slow and just, you know. But she also loved the Slingsby Academy and learning to play golf in 6 months. And she highlighted the fact that golf has such a great community. Have you found that? Because I know within the equestrian world, you've got such a tight, wonderful family community. Is it the same in golf?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, I'm definitely a nine and wine kind of person. The 18 holes is...
I know.
18 holes is a long way. And probably my concentration gets lost after that. But there's a lot more people as well, of my friends who are wanting to do the same thing of learning to play golf, like going and playing a few holes and then having, you know, having a drink, having a social, having a bit of food, just having a bit of time out from life. I think... especially a shorter round for people like ourselves who have got kids. 18 holes is a long chunk of the day. So being able to still be able to go and play golf, but, you know, in a shorter period of time is a great experience. And we had such a lot of fun doing it. And I wish we'd had, you know, we'd done it for longer.
Are you still playing?
I haven't played since Australia. One of my sponsors, ISPS Handa, Midori, made me play in the Australian Pro-Am at the beginning.
Great.
My God, I hadn't played for a few weeks and I was on the tee, but it was okay. I managed to get around and it was 18 holes as well.
Oh.
And I mean, like, I'm definitely a fair weather player, but in the sun, you know, you can't beat it. It's a great game. And we, you know, managed to hit some nice balls. Probably each hole I hit one good shot, so I was pleased with that. But I haven't played since then, so I'm looking forward to some nicer weather coming along and getting back out there and, yeah, maybe playing a bit with Mike.
Now, we know Mia is at home today, one of your girls. Does she play golf?
She has played golf, actually. And in the summer, they do a little at the local golf course. You can take the kids up there and they do a session with them. So... that's really cool. And Lucas has knows exactly what the golf room is.
Oh, there's a golf room, is there?
Funny enough, yeah. Mike built himself a cave.
So he's got a simulator?
Got a simulator, yeah.
Oh, amazing. And spends a lot of time there, probably.
He probably doesn't spend as much time as he would like in there. But actually, I'm not that keen on simulator. I love being out and about and playing on the course because it's so different, isn't it? You've got all the different terrain and rough area, which I love being in. Don't really kind of get that feeling in the simulator, do you?
I hear you. I'm the same. I like being outdoors when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Just reminder, what is Mike's handicap? I want to go on to Mike's charity golf day in a sec, but what does he play off?
No, you're asking me.
I think he's single figures. I think he's about 8.
I think he's a bit lower. I think he, because I was like, oh, he was about 10 for quite a long time. And then they changed the handicap system, didn't they? And he went down to single fingers. And I was like, how did you manage that?
I think a lot of people have asked that question with the handicap system changing. I love the fact that you have these chats in your house about golf. It's great. We will be back with Zara Tyndall in just a second, but on Why Golf Opinion Matters, we speak to fascinating people every single fortnight to find out why they love the sport so much. Now, our last guest was former rugby player turned model, actor and singer Tom Evans, who explained the role that golf had in his recovery from a serious neck injury.
It was an incredibly difficult sort of time in my life, but the one thing I actually, when I came to, sort of asked the doctors, like, will I be able to play golf again?
Wow.
Golf really helped me because being able to sort of invest a lot of time that I usually would into rugby and having a sport that I cared more than anything taken away, I really invested a lot of that into golf.
How his whole family are immersed in the sport.
We have an annual game every Christmas Day, where me and my brother take our mum and dad, and they actually beat us last year, which I'm still not really over.
And Tom also gave us a rendition of his favourite karaoke song.
I'll stand selling now, baby. No. Guess you better slow that Mustang down.
Make sure you go back and listen if you haven't already, and hit subscribe on your favourite podcast provider for a new episode of Why Golf Opinion Matters every 2 weeks. Now, back to our chat with Zara. Over the years, yourself and Mike have raised a lot of money for charity, and you have the annual Mike Tyndall Celebrity Golf Day. This year it's on the 12th of May at the Belfry, and you've held it at the Belfry for many years to raise money for Cure Parkinson's and the Matt Hampson Foundation. I spoke to Tom Evans last week, and we were talking about the fact that within the game of golf, you can give so much back in terms of charity. Why is it so important that you guys hold this event and raise lots of money?
I think for both of us, you know, the charities that we're involved in are very personal to us, and being able to give back and give our time, I suppose, because there's always a lot of charities that are like, can you just, can you do that? But actually, if we can't be doing that all the way through the year, it's great to actually create an event where we can do something and we can give back and we can give our time and we're there. You know, and hopefully get a lot of people along to support it. And it's been going for, I think it's 10 year anniversary.
This is the 10th year. Yeah, it's a big one.
So it's built up and up through the years, which has been incredible. We've got some really amazing supporters, sponsors and friends that always come back and absolutely love it each year and always give a lot of money to the charities. So it's an incredible event and we have a lot of fun, which is, you know, what it's all about, as well as trying to raise as much money as possible. And, you know, with Matt Hampson and the Cure Parkinson Foundation, a lot of those beneficiaries, you know, come to the golf day as well, which is incredible to be able to see them, speak to them and see, you know, hopefully how we're helping them along their journey.
I find it breathtaking. I've attended the event over the past few years and I just, when you're in the room and you see directly where the money's going, it's incredibly emotional. And I'm just so proud of you guys for what you're doing and how much you have raised, because it's a significant amount. And in America alone, approximately 143,000 golf charity events are held annually, with 12 million participants at nearly 13,000 golf facilities. So wow. Golf is a sport where you can raise loads of cash for really important charities. And as you say, also have a great time. I remember being handed a tequila on the first tee last year, which was quite interesting.
To help the nerves.
Of course, yeah. Actually, I played quite well the first few holes and then possibly needed another. No, it's brilliant what you're doing. And Mike, over the years, has worn quite elaborate outfits. What do you think of his attire at times?
Ian Poulter, isn't he? And he yeah, loves dressing up. He loves being sent a new outfit each year for his golf day. And, you know, it's just that's what it's about. It's about having fun, enjoying the day, being with mates, raising money, but, you know, also doing something that he really loves doing. And, you know, I mean, there's so much cheating that goes on. I can't believe, you know.
Oh, let's put you down for a four. Oh, I've just had 17 shots. Really? Okay. I think when the winners went up last year, everyone was looking around them and going, did they actually?
Yeah. And also that we do charge them for some mulligans as well to get some more money out of them, which I think probably get used in completely the wrong way.
Yes.
And also the longer the day goes on, the more mulligans get bought. So
totally. Because you go around in your little golf cart selling mulligans, yeah, and raising cash, which is great. How many outfits has Mikey got, by the way? Different golf outfits.
There's definitely a golfing cupboard that there's a lot of outfits in. And there's, you know, I would say he probably spends more time deciding what golf outfit he's going to wear than what suit he would wear to an occasion.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does enjoy it and he loves everything about it. And I think this year he came into the house and I turned Augusta on and he was like, yes, finally I've come in and my wife's now turning the golf on. It's not just me turning golf on and, you know, making her watch it.
Amazing. Yes. His wife is finally putting the golf on out of choice. Not like, oh, I've got to watch the golf. But if there's one big event you've got to watch, it's the Masters and also the Open Championship. And I wanted to mention the Women's Open this summer. And hopefully, I'm going to be there. I'm hoping you're going to be at Walton Heath this summer. Is that right?
I think hopefully we are.
And Ellie Goulding, she's singing on the live stage, I think, on the Saturday night. And apparently we're going to do the backing vocals or something.
Lip sync.
Oh, it's only miming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah. But how important is it for you to support, you know, women's sport, because you've been right up there. I mean, flipping women winning a silver medal at the Olympics.
Until now, I hadn't really thought about it ever because we have always competed against the guys and it's actually more about the horses than it is us. So, you know, now to be able to support women's sport at such a high level on par with the men's sports is great. And I love, you know, the success that's been going on. It's such a thrill. And yeah, really proud to watch, actually.
It's great. It's going to be a fantastic summer of sports. And as I say, you know, it's a really busy time for you. We've got the coronation coming up at 6th of May. Have you sorted your outfit?
I'm getting there. Hopefully finish that off tomorrow. And then, yeah, and then I'm off to America. So.
Oh, gosh. Get the dress done.
Yeah.
It feels like your life is like a whirlwind of energy and activity. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of juggling that goes on. There's a lot of logistics. But I think, yeah, trying to fit everything in is definitely a real struggle. You know, I mean, just life struggle, like everyone, you know, I don't think it's just me, but I think what you do find hard as a mother with kids and trying to make sure that you spend the right enough amount of time and quality time with the kids, as well as being able to have a career and do and try and fit everything in around it. That is something that I kind of, you know, you think about every day, don't you?
Do you feel like in the future, golf is going to be a big part of your family life and you'll take Lucas, Mia and Lena out and play golf as a family?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Hopefully I'll be a bit better by then, and because I know exactly what's going to happen is that they'll all get better than us, won't they? And I'll be the mug at the back trying to 15 shots, you know, like trying to get...
Come on, Mum!
They'll be waiting for me. So yeah, it would be great if they all knew how to swing a club and you can do it together, because that's what you kind of live for, isn't it? And making those moments together, being able to do them together is so much easier as well. You know, can all be interested in the same things. That's incredible.
Right, my love, I know you push for time and we're coming to the end. We've got some clubhouse curveballs. We've got five quick fire questions. The first question, which hazard do you hit your ball into most? Water or bunkers?
Probably bunkers.
How are you in bunkers?
I do quite like the bunker shot. Either like it's a challenging shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I do quite like doing the bunker shot.
What was it like when you played in the playoff to try and get into the Pro-Am? Because I think I remember getting a text from you saying I nearly did it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first nine was good, actually. I really enjoyed it. And then we had a little bit of a break. This is why I'm not very good at 18 holes. And then I kind of think I'm... No. Lost it completely.
Next one. Which country or specific golf course is top of your bucket list to play?
Somewhere really warm. I would love to go to Masters and just see it. I don't think I could. I think I'd be too scared to play it, but just to go and see the event, and I think that would be incredible. I'd love to do that. That would be on my bucket list for sure.
Great. And if you're going, I'm coming with you. Third question. If your life depended on someone making a 10-foot putt, who would you choose to take it?
Oh, wow. Anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a golfer.
Definitely be a professional golfer. Who's the best putter in the world at the moment?
Rory McIlroy you could go for.
I mean, I do love Rory.
Tiger at his peak.
Rory or Tiger.
Who would your dream four-ball be? They can be golfers or non-golfers. They could be dead or alive.
You see, I could be here for ages.
Yeah, I know. Mike, do you want to play with Mike?
Yes, obviously I'd have to take Mike.
Okay, I'll play.
Dido, you can come. I'd love to play with Tiger.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, amazing. Maybe like Jack Nicklaus or someone.
Lovely. So you got Jack, Tiger, Mike and yourself, and I'll carry the golf clubs.
Yes.
Perfect. Great. And finally, a question we ask all our guests. What's your drink of choice on the 19th hole?
When I was doing the Slingsbury, I was like, oh, I don't drink gin. So I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, gin and tonic. I don't need to say that, do I?
No, you don't need to say that.
I think I would probably have a glass of champagne.
Oh, yes. I knew you were going to say that. It was either that or rosé, but let's go fizz.
Celebrate my round. I'd be, yeah, champagne.
Yay. That would be my choice. Now, just as we finish off, can you tell all our listeners, and this podcast is really growing, which is great. There's such an amazing golfing community out there. Tell our listeners why golf, why they should play it, be part of it, be involved in the golfing community.
I think you should play golf to be able to do a sport with your mates. It's such a great social sport. You're outside. It's not, you know, it's not too extreme, you know, if you're not that way inclined, but you're outside taking exercise, getting beautiful fresh air in you, and learning a skill, like playing a sport that is, you could be at the top level of, you know, one shot and in a different country and on another shot. I think it's just a very grounding sport as well. You can never get above yourself in golf, and it's just fun. It's an amazing, amazing social sport to be able to do, you know, whenever.
It's great. And it brings people together. Just like you guys are all going to come together on the 12th of May and raise loads of money. So wish you luck for that. And also competing in America. Thank you for your time, my love. Really appreciate it. But you've got so much going on. Loads of love. And I'll catch up with you really soon.
Pleasure. Love you, bye.
Now remember, if you like what you've heard, make sure you subscribe on your favourite podcast provider and the next episode will drop into your feed automatically. Make sure to also leave a review as well. We're also on Instagram, just search for This Is Why Golf, and that's the best place to submit your questions for Clubhouse Curveballs, which we'll put to our next guest. To find more on the most up-to-date insights and research, just head to thisiswhygolf.com, where there's lots more information on all the benefits that golf has to offer. We'll be back on Friday, the 12th of May, to find out someone else's why golf. But until then, from me, Di Stewart, it's goodbye.